Good morning to you who have joined us on this July the 2nd, 2017. Just a few more days until 4th of July, the day that we celebrate our independence as a nation. I hope that you've already celebrated your independence from the devil, and you are serving the Lord and walking with Him, and your life is filled with Christ. Well, by the way, that's what we're going to be talking about this morning, is sharing Christ. Sharing Christ. And this is session number 5 of a 6-session lesson under real relationships. We're going to be talking to you about that. I'll go ahead and tell you that scripture is coming from John, 1st chapter, 35 through 49. You can go ahead and get your Bibles ready, or you can get your Sunday school book if you have a quarterly Bible studies for life for the summer quarter. Then you join us with that, and I would give you my page number, but mine may be a little bit different. So just find the lesson, share Christ. Let's have a prayer, then we'll introduce ourselves. And we'll get started. Dr. Forte, lead us in prayer, please.
Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that we have freedom as individuals and as nations. Mm-hmm. Help us always to realize that freedom is not license.
Yes, Lord.
And it comes with responsibilities. So help us to be active, free people. We appreciate so much that in America we have freedom of religion. Freedom to worship whomever and however we will. And yet, dear Heavenly Father, that freedom brings with it responsibilities. Amen. Responsibility to come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord
yes,
and Savior.
Yes, yes.
And responsibility to worship and glorify God
yes.
daily. A responsibility to live the Christian life, to live by what Jesus referred to as the Great Commandments,
yes.
to love you with all of our mm-hmm. mind and heart mm-hmm. and soul, our very being, and to love our neighbors at least as well as we love ourselves.
Yes.
It also carries with it the responsibility of being a great commissioned Christian, mm-hmm. one that shares the good news with everybody and believes
yes,
that the only way to you is through your Son, Jesus Christ,
yes.
who was the Savior of mankind. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings upon this lesson today as we look at the Scripture. May your Holy Spirit to be ministering to the minds and the hearts and the will of those who are listening.
Yes,
in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, sir, who are you to my right with the green shirt on?
My name is Brandon Pinion, and I'm pastor of Moores Bridge Baptist Church over in Tuscaloosa County.
And we're so glad you're here with us.
Thank you, and I'm delighted always to be here.
Dr. Farley, who would you be?
I'm Gary Farley. I'm the director of missions for the Pickens Baptist Association with its offices in Carrollton, Alabama.
Okay, I thought you'd been like Carrollton and Olivesville and Reform and Columbus. We got offices everywhere, really, hadn't we?
Amen.
Because we got
I
Jesus.
I guess you could look at it that way, yeah.
Yeah. And Bob, who are you, Dr. Bob?
Well, I'm Bob Little, pastor at the Galilee Baptist Church. Also helped with overseeing a ministry over in Tishomingo, the new fellowship. And just thank the Lord for being able to be here in the fellowship today.
Amen. And I'm Herschel Owen. I'm pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church, Gordo, Alabama. So, good morning to you again, and we pray this will be a great, great Lord's Day for you. You get ready now and listen to us, and then go to Sunday school and listen again. Go to preaching and hear the preaching of the Word of God. All right, share Christ. And as I said, this is the 5th lesson under real relationships. Real relationships. We've studied love like Christ, forge true friendships, respect authority, see their worth, talking about people, see people's worth, and today share Christ. In today's lesson, John informs his readers of John the Baptist's introduction of Jesus to his own disciples. Jesus came along and John said, I'm going to tell you who that is. And when people come along, we need to tell them who Jesus is. He knew that this would probably mean that these disciples would leave him and follow Jesus, but he also knew it was important for them to know Jesus as their Savior. It's important for every one of you that are listening to know Jesus as your Savior. You cannot get to heaven without knowing Jesus as your Savior. What does this example teach us? Well, I hope you'll pick it up as we study under three different thoughts this morning: recognizing and sharing who Jesus is, the changes that knowing and sharing Jesus brings, and believing in Jesus comes, and then after that, we believe in him, comes the sharing. Brother Pinion, if you would be so kind as to read our scripture.
Well, in recognizing and sharing who Jesus is, it comes from John chapter 1, verse 35 to 9, and it says, and again the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is saying, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he saith unto them, Come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour.
Okay, recognizing and sharing who Jesus is. Bob, according to that first verse, what are at least one of the attainments of John the Baptist? What does it tell us about his having receive some folks to follow him?
Amen. He was had good character, good integrity, and he had a good, great message. And also, as he did, he let them know that he was preaching about Jesus Christ. And that's why he directed them, as we get on down to it, to let them know that he was the Lamb of God, you know, that was coming, the one that who has been coming since the foundation of the world. And that's an awesome testimony right there of what John was able to see. Even though he had knew who he was in the natural, he now is able to see him in the spiritual and direct two of his disciples or instruct them, hey, this is the man who you need to be following. This is the one who I'm following, and this is the one who's going to deliver you and lead you out of your sinful nature.
I said he was speaking to those two disciples that he had there, mm-hmm. and he knew that they needed to know the same Jesus.
Amen.
That was there.
Amen.
And when that was probably their first encounter with him, mm-hmm. and when he spoke, man, there was something that happened with them, and they just were automatically drawn to him.
Amen.
So he had disciples. So John must have been telling them something that they could understand and that they were looking for, as John preached to them. And do you remember a little bit about John? Who was he? And I'm talking about John the Baptist.
Yeah.
What was he in relationship to Jesus? Or how did
yeah,
he come
they
to
were
know
cousins.
Jesus?
If you look back in the book of Luke. Mm-hmm. Mary went to visit her sister Elizabeth, and John was about 6 months, I think, older than Jesus. And of course, they grew up fairly far apart. Of course, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, which wasn't so far from where John lived. But Then they went to Egypt, and they came back and went way up to...
Now, who went to Egypt, Dr. Farley?
Jesus.
And why did he go to Egypt?
What?
Why did he go to Egypt?
Well, because Herod was trying to kill him.
Right.
And, you know, just as a baby. But anyway, when his parents came back, they took him up to Nazareth, which was up in Galilee, was a good distance away. But I kind of had in mind that probably they got together at least once a year when they came down to celebrate the Passover in Jerusalem. And so they knew one another somewhat. As they were growing up, but then John began his ministry, and then later Jesus began his ministry. In the verses before where we start here, it talks about Jesus coming to be baptized by John.
Okay, they did not, Brother Pinion. They didn't send each other emails, did they?
No, they didn't.
They couldn't do that way.
I don't imagine Bill Gates was born in
London.
I don't think he was. And but anyhow, like Dr. Farley said, they knew of each other, and they were ordained by God to meet each other and to work together in a sense.
Wasn't John the Baptist declared by some, maybe in our generation or an earlier generation, as the forerunner of Jesus? And I think John declared that himself.
He did.
When he said, I am come to declare him.
Mm-hmm.
And so then from that, as Gary has already rehearsed, there was a physical relationship. That relationship was quite distant from the real relationship that they had.
Right.
Because of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice.
Bob, what was John the Baptist's ministry, and which one of those big churches did he preach in?
Well, he preached at First Baptist in the wilderness.
He preached in the wilderness. And what is a wilderness?
That's a place where no inhabitants is. Amen. But he had people come out to him. They said they came out to him. I'm talking about by the droves, as people would say. And he had he was baptizing them for repentance, for the remission of their sins, and he was telling them make the pathway straight. In other words, do the right thing so that somebody who's falling behind you will be able to follow you as you follow Christ. And so that's a great proclamation even for today. As believers, we ought to be crying out, no matter where we at, telling folks to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins, and also live a life that somebody else can follow so that they won't go down a crooked or a rough road, but they can follow the one who is the director of their path.
Let me ask you this, Bob. Two things I'm going to ask you, since you kind of hinted at this. John's last name was Baptist, wasn't it?
Amen. John the Baptist.
No, yes. Was his last name like Bob Little? Why did they call him the Baptist?
Because he was baptizing.
And that's what he was known for.
He was known for that. I don't know what his real last name was.
They didn't have real last names.
Okay, but we probably can stand on like some of them, some denominations of the swear if you ain't a part of that. But we got validation too, because later he prior to this, he baptized Jesus. Also, and Jesus, John told him, I'm not worthy, but he said, go ahead on and do it, because I'm going to set the precedence of how I want my followers to follow me even as I'm baptized. Some will want to eliminate the process of baptism and just do it a certain way, but Jesus was baptized in the name of the Father. He told the disciples to do that, you know, go baptize them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And so once we do that, we've fulfilled what Jesus has told us to do.
What about this, Brother Pena? Now, John was just really preaching. He preached repentance, which that's necessary. He preached you need to get baptized. And you do, not for salvation, but because of salvation. Mm-hmm. But was John's message enough? Was he missing something in his preaching for a period of time.
Well, he didn't have any kind of follow-up, doesn't seem to me like Herschel. I don't know, because I wasn't there, and I don't think Gary was.
Well, he was almost there.
He's next oldest to me, yeah. But I know I wasn't there. But he was preaching a message of salvation, and baptizing was just a declaration of and a confirming of the fact that they already knew the Lord, they were ready to serve the Lord, and they were going to follow the Lord in baptism and in Christian service.
Let me add a little something to that, Herschel. When Jesus came, John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God."
Right.
And explain that, Gary, if you would.
I'm going to.
Amen. Amen.
I'm ready. That takes away the sins of the world. Now, ultimately, I think we came to see that that was a kind of forecasting of the cross. In other words, Christ was going to be the sacrificial lamb that fulfilled the old way of getting in a right relationship with God. He died on the cross as a sacrifice to cover the sins of mankind, to cover the sins of those who would trust in him from then to now. And so John was saying, you know, here's the guy that's going to take care of your sin problems. And he's going to create a new kind of way of relating to God, not with yearly or daily blood sacrifices for the nation or for yourself, but rather trusting in what Jesus did once and for all. Now, in the New Testament, as you go on through, you have a wonderful discussion of this in the book of Hebrews about him being the high priest and the sacrifice. And then you get over into the Revelation, and pretty quickly when you get down into about the fifth chapter, they're saying, you know, who can open up these scrolls so we can see this truth that God has for us? And everybody was sad until someone said, well, the Lamb is worthy. Jesus, who was seen as the Lamb by John a number of years earlier, is the Lamb, and he was before the throne of God, and he was the one that made it possible for folks not only to be saved, but to understand what life is really all about. And I could go on and talk another 30 minutes on that, but I'm going to stop.
Right. Well, you got it.
That's critical to understand that he is the Lamb of God. And that's what John pointed to then, and then the disciple John, which is a different John, when he wrote the Revelation, picks this theme back up.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. And the Lamb of God, every Jew understood something about a lamb.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. They understood that on Atonement Day, a lamb was to be offered for the sins of the nation, that they understood that if a man was able to bring a lamb for his own sins at various times, that it was to be offered, to be sacrificed. So when John looks at Jesus and says, look, this is not one of them four-legged lambs, but this is the lamb.
Mm-hmm.
This is the lamb. This is the one that all those other lambs, all those other rivers of blood pointed to.
That was out back through all of history, too.
That's right.
Amen.
So John had disciples, but he also had discernment because he could see. Now, I've got a cousin, a real close cousin. We were close up until we were 21, 22 years old, just like brothers. I went my way. He went his way. He began to be an alcoholic. And for 50 years or somewhere thereabout, we were not very, very close. I prayed for him all the time. Now he's back in the will of God. No longer, alcohol no longer controlled him. But I would have never picked my cousin and told Bob, little Bob, this is the Lamb of God.
Right.
But now Jesus was different, and John had discernment to know that this is not just my cousin John, who is known as the baptizer, but this one is goes way beyond his relationship to me as the baptizer. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin.
Hey, Herschel, I got a question, and you may not be ready to answer, but the second word that Bob read a while ago was the next day, and then a little later on there'll be another next day, and then there'll be a reference to the third day. What is there any significance in that you picked up?
No, I did go back and look at the days that happened ahead of that, but I don't know. I don't know that that it being the next day. It just, to me, it just told that this is an ongoing thing. Mm-hmm. One day he stood with John the Baptist and identified him, and then a next day came, and a next day came.
Called some more disciples. Well, right. Yeah, there's disciples, once, and then some more disciples.
Right.
And then you get to the wedding feast in Cana. Right. And I know then after that they say this is the first of the miracles, and there's like a set of seven miracles in John's gospel that build off of that. The only thing I could come up with, it was sort of the creation of the church. Mm. And so we've got these
different days.
These 3 days, but I can't think of where they come back in. But I wondered if maybe like there were the seven miracles, if there weren't maybe some key events that were involved in the calling of the
And there may well, be. I just don't.
That's
an assignment for us to work on, I guess.
You know the number seven mean complete.
Right.
And so now, once you get to the...
What does number three mean?
That's three. Let me go back to
Trinity.
It. Trinity, yeah. And that's the divine order. Of what the believers should.
Well, that'd be some place for us to take off on it right there, and then study.
But that seven is completion, and so here you got these seven miracles, and look at those different miracles, and then now you're looking at the completeness of it through Jesus Christ and the fulfillment, in other words, of all these things that we'll encounter or we'll have difficulty with. Then Jesus is the fulfillment of it. The other thing was that was interesting is a scripture that says the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world.
Right.
And that's an awesome thing if you can grasp around it. In other words, God killed Jesus before he allowed humanity to come into the earth.
Yeah, before he ever created.
Before he ever created, he'd already made a sacrifice of his son
Would you create a people who are going to be wicked enough that they're going to demand the death of your own son? I'd say I ain't going to create them people.
Right.
But I'm not God.
Right. Right. And see, and then God also, he allowed because he created Adam and Eve in this perfect image, but then sin, as we know, the serpent comes in. And he gave them free will. And they was persuaded through their free will to either stay with God or either go after the sin that the serpent offered. And through that, the serpent offered seemed to be more enticing, but it was more detrimental.
Death.
Yeah, it was death. It was death in that. So it was highly detrimental. And so to know that God had already put us escape in process before he even created us.
Right.
A mechanism that when we, if in case we did mess up, it was already there. It's kind of like a airbag in your car. You know, it's there just in case you have an accident. It don't operate until you have a mishap,
but in humanity's case, God knew that it wasn't an if there. It was
when, and that's what it is. That airbag is when, we do have an accident. It's a possibility now. But when we do, guess what? There's a safety net.
But in a human case,
we automatically are going
not,
to.
It's not possibility.
It is.
But it definite. Is positively.
The positive.
Positivity.
Yeah, positivity.
All right. Yeah, and so let's see if we can kind of gather back in here.
Amen.
Here's old John the baptizer. He has introduced Jesus because of his discernment to know that Jesus was more than just cousin Jesus, but he is the Lamb of God that's going to take the place of all the yearly lambs or other time lambs that were offered. He's going to take their place and be the one lamb Amen. That God requires. And the third thing along this line is John deferred any credit for himself, and he wanted his disciples. He was not selfish and said, "Now, boys, I'm going to show you who he is, but you don't go over there with him. Mm-hmm. You stay with me.
Yeah.
You're my disciples."
Well, one of the things, Herschel, that I want to mention in this, and it's just me, maybe, but the importance of these two followers of John the Baptist that just heard him speak.
Mm-hmm.
And there was something spiritually magnetic in either what he spoke or how he spoke or the whole aura of the thing.
Right.
And they didn't have any questions. There wasn't a whole lot of debate. There wasn't any debate.
No reserves. Amen.
I mean, it was just a simple matter that John the Baptist had probably been teaching them and preaching to them that there was one coming.
Amen. Right? He had.
And once he opened his mouth, they followed him. They abandoned John the Baptist.
They did.
And started with Jesus.
And it was miraculous thing, a divine thing.
It had to be. That's the point I was going to try to make.
On June the 25th, I went into a home where there was two little children that had met me one time before. They lived up in West Virginia. But they heard me preach on Sunday morning the 25th, and they told their grandfather they wanted to be saved. I went into the home, stranger, rank stranger, just like maybe Jesus was to these two disciples. But when I began to tell them about Jesus, there's something wonderful about Jesus. Now, if I told them about Bob Little or one of y'all, I don't think it made much difference. Not to belittle y'all.
Amen. Amen.
But y'all couldn't do what Jesus could for them.
Well, we're just
mortal. That's right. We couldn't do what Jesus could. But they trusted in what I was saying, that they trusted in Jesus. They transferred.
Well, and don't forget to give credit to the Holy Spirit of God.
Absolutely.
Because what you were saying to them was relating to them through the Holy Spirit.
Right.
That really brought them to the understanding of and the acceptance of the message of redemption and salvation because of the sacrifice of the Son of God.
And the same thing is here.
Amen.
Same thing right here.
Yeah.
So then Jesus' question to them in verse 38.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that, Brother Pinion.
Well, he just says, "What seek ye?" Looking at those individuals that had been heretofore followers of John the Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
And they said unto him, the recognition comes out.
Mm-hmm. All right, so he said,
"Rabbi."
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which is to say, being interpreted, Master.
Mm-hmm.
So do they fully know at this point what the Son of God is?
No, they recognized who the Son of God was.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the reason, you know, we're not going into the presence of an individual in any kind of a social setting
Mm-mm.
and just say to them, Master.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Give them the highest authority in and on and for my life.
Mm-hmm.
But now these guys were in the presence of the divine, and they didn't have any problem with that.
Right. But now, don't you sometimes have folks that you just met call you Reverend?
Well, yeah, but very seldom. Because I don't dress the part.
You don't wear a tie?
No.
Okay.
No.
Bob, I'm making a point here.
Yeah.
My guy that does my work on the airplane, he always calls me Reverend. I'm not somebody that's reverent.
It's just the respect.
It's a respectful thing.
Yeah, for that individual.
Right.
And that's another thing that needs to be expounded upon. A lot of times people say, nobody's supposed to be reverent. Nobody. It's not that we reverence ourselves or elevate ourselves.
No.
It's just people who have seen the work God has done through us put that title on us to say, okay, you are a holy person, or you are a righteous person, or you are doing what's right in my sight that God has called you to do. So I call you Reverend Brandon Pinion.
And that's really what I'm trying to get across here, really. John knew who Jesus was.
Mm-hmm.
It was obvious. These two disciples knew he was somebody different. Boy, they never, like that scripture that says, we never heard a man speak like mm-hmm. this man.
And he didn't say a whole lot of magnetism to do it.
That's right. But they turned and they followed him. And Jesus said, well, what do you really want out of this? What are you looking for? Mm-hmm. And they said, Rabbi, which they would call any teacher,
mm-hmm.
anybody at the temple, any of those people, where do you live?
Mm-hmm.
We want to know more about you. When you start sharing Christ, don't you think that people then want to know more about who Jesus is?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
But we got to start by sharing Christ.
Amen.
I don't want to share Herschel Owen. You don't want to share Bob Little mm-hmm. or Dr. Farley or Brandon Pinion. Share Jesus. And there is something wonderfully powerful and miraculous when you do that. That even a wicked sinner oftentimes will repent and big tears will roll down their face because they know there's something unusual about this name of Jesus. The old song said, and men, Brother Pinion would sing it, but y'all would cut the radio off. We don't want you to do that. But there's just something about that name.
Something about
that name. Now, Bill and Gloria Gaither saw that there was something about that name and wrote it.
Yeah. Right. There's just something about that name.
See, kings and kingdoms, they all shall pass away.
That's right.
But there's something about that name.
So when they said, John the Baptizer, there's something special, reverent. There's something unusual about this name. And we want to know more about it. Where you live.
Hmm.
And what did Jesus say?
Come see.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he says to all of us.
Yeah.
And that's the message that you and I,
amen,
and all of us have been proclaiming all these years.
Come see.
Is this is come and see.
Follow me. Come see.
And you can, when you see, you can come and dine.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. When you know more about me,
amen,
the possibility is you're going to like me less.
Because
I'm a human. I fail. But when you know more about Jesus, what happened?
You should draw near to him.
He will draw you near.
Amen. Amen.
And we know another song along that line too, but they ain't going to listen to that one either.
Draw me nearer.
That's right, precious Lord. Draw me nearer. Well, okay, listen. The big thing we want you to know is, first of all, before you can share Jesus, you got to recognize who he is in your own personal life. And I hope some of you right now are thinking about that. And some of you know Jesus, but you just hadn't been telling people about
mm-hmm,
him.
Mm-hmm.
Tell somebody today about Jesus. Tell somebody. God's going to put somebody in your path, and you tell them about Jesus.
Mm-hmm. First of all, we've got another hard question.
Okay, all right.
Now, it tells us that one of these two guys was Andrew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got any idea who the other guy was of those disciples of John the Baptist?
Well,
probably Simon Peter.
Yeah.
No, because he goes and Simon Peter was Andrew's brother, and what I see in 40 and below there is that Andrew goes and finds Simon Peter. So I don't think the Bible says.
I don't know.
If maybe it was James.
I don't know.
And then they hooked up with his brother John.
But I tell you what we can do. And then tell us.
Go to verse 40 and look at verse 40. It said, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother.
Gary wants to know who the other one is. So we got to, we're going to trust God for that. Amen. But that unknown disciple of John told about Jesus. I say, you're unknown to us. Go tell somebody about Jesus today. All right, Brother Pena, we better move on to that next part.
In John 1, 40 and 45, it says, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. And the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.
Hey, I may have an answer already. It may have been Philip was the other of the two guys.
Could have been.
Because he says he found him, so it, maybe they had that introduction earlier.
Right.
Something to think about, anyhow.
Yeah.
Probably not all that. That was a day later, though.
Yeah.
But I know Jesus.
He said he was going to leave. See, they'd been down in Judea, down around Enon, which was pretty close to Jericho, which is one of the mistakes that when you go to Israel to see where Jesus did his work, they talk about him baptizing just below the Sea of Galilee, and I don't think that's correct, but some water, I guess.
Okay, but we got to recognize.
We still got you signs to find it out.
Yeah.
Well, I may just have. Maybe somebody will call me and let me know.
That'd be good. It'd be good if we get some calls on that.
Yeah.
But the main point is, even though we don't know who that was, is to know who Jesus is.
Right.
And to share who Jesus is.
Yeah.
And that's your assignment out there who are Christian, is you, when you know who Jesus is, you go tell somebody.
Amen.
There's a song about that, too.
Amen.
Go tell somebody.
And look at the seem like this text is getting excited. You know, one find him, and one find another friend, and go say, we found him. Another somebody, we found them. And you know, and this should be the reaction or the chain reaction of believers. Once people get saved and understand who Jesus is, it ought to be a ripple effect of folks telling, they found it, I found the Savior. They had a song, He's Sweet, I Know. I found the Savior, for He is sweet, I know. And so if He's sweet to you and you know it and you found Him, then you ought to be ready to tell somebody else about this Jesus you found.
Let me tell you a real experience, and I got to do it quickly, don't waste the time. But some years ago when I was pastoring over in Tuscaloosa County, Alabama, one of the men, I was able to lead a 71-year-old man to the Lord. And so we set a time for his baptism.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like 2 weeks later on Sunday evening in a cow pasture. And when we got ready to baptize him, I baptized him plus either 13 or 14 other people that he had won to the Lord.
Amen, amen, amen.
That he had won to the Lord.
Amen.
And he was a farmer, wore overalls. I mean, he wasn't no big important banker that could say, I ain't going to make you alone today if you don't come to know Jesus.
Yeah.
But he brought either 13 or 14 people, I just can't remember, that we baptized besides him in that cow pond after I talked to them and assured myself that he had, and all he knew was that he had found Jesus.
Yeah.
And he wanted them to know this son, Jesus.
And that's a question we ought to put forth to our listening audience. You said this guy did 13 or 14 in a short period of time.
Yeah, and no more than 2 weeks.
No more than 2 weeks. And some who have been believers and born again, how many have they influenced or won to Christ through their witnessing?
Amen. Yeah, when you go, the song says, "Will I go an empty-handed?
Mm.
Will I meet my Redeemer so?"
Wow.
Oh, God, help us not to go empty-handed when there are many, so many lost people about us.
Amen.
That we rub shoulders with every single day. So the changes that knowing and sharing about Jesus bring, first of all, there will be a new compassion and a new concern.
Mm-hmm.
That my story about my former friend who led 13 or 14 members of the community to Jesus. He had a deep new compassion.
Well, he had to have a good past reputation also, Herschel. Wouldn't you think to have had that much of an influence over
or a bad
one. Or evil,
and they saw the difference.
He could have been extremely good or extremely bad.
But one way, and so that tells me everybody can do it.
Amen. Everybody
the bad that gets saved can.
Amen.
And the good that are saved can. Either way, they'll listen to you if they see compassion and concern in you. And don't tell me what you know until what?
You show what you can do. Yeah. Nobody want to know how much you know until you show how much you care.
Right.
And
nobody will care how much you know.
Right. They don't care. Mm-hmm. We had a campaign, and we probably need to revisit it, a few years ago called Share Jesus. And it motivated some of our members to go to their wayward family members.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And share Jesus with them. And one young lady, she was able to win two of her brothers.
Yeah.
And her daddy, who was up in age, he was 60-something years old, never joined church, never been a part of church. And we was able to baptize at least three or four members of that family.
Of her family.
She witnessed also to another member who lived out of town. And when they came in town, they said they wanted to be baptized because she had witnessed to them. And it was just an awesome thing to see those who really bought into the share Jesus and how they was effective in witnessing to their family members and the results of it. But we sometimes get, you know, stop witnessing Jesus and we get programmed in and forget about the main thing. The main thing is to win souls.
That's right. So a new compassion and a new concern is what these guys had, because he first found his brother, and then, you know, one right after the other, they mm-hmm. went to people, and they because they were concerned. Do you believe, Brother Farley, Dr. Farley, if you had a brother or a sister or a neighbor that you believe was going to die of cancer, and back home in the cabinet, the medicine cabinet, you had a bottle of stuff that you had seen it destroy cancer cells in people. What kind of a person would you be if you really believed they were going to die of cancer and you really believed what you had to offer them would spare them that? Would you be if you didn't tell them about it?
I'd be pretty sorry.
Yeah. And when people are lost and going to hell, and they are, dear people, they're listening to us, that's not a fair story that you've heard. That's a reality. People that you are going to see today and tomorrow and this week are going to die and go to hell if somebody don't go tell them about Jesus. About Jesus.
Amen.
There is something else in there, a new name. What happened in verse 42 there, Brother Pinion?
Well, I believe it was Peter had a new name.
Yeah, he did.
Simon was his name originally. And Jesus told him he was going to rename him, which made him a stone,
mm-hmm.
Cephas.
Cephas. Do you have a Cephas in your church?
Mm, I know. I got a Cleotis.
Somebody I know has a seat. Somebody I know's got. Oh, I know who it is. Pastor of the First Baptist Church in Gordo, the African American, right. Cephas Daly. Now, he spells it a little differently.
Okay.
But he's a stone. He Amen. Is a stone.
He's a good guy.
He's a powerful, Amen. Wonderful guy. All right. So, but what does that say anything? When you become a Christian, when you follow Jesus, do you have a new name? Now, Farley, do you think you do?
Are we going to get one in heaven?
We are one day, but we got one now. We call them Christians.
Christian, David.
Yeah, okay.
They call, at Antioch, they called them Christians. First at Antioch. So I used to not be called a Christian.
Well, I had some, called everything else.
I had some names on that, but it wasn't a Christian. but since I've become a Christian, and then I have a new name. I'm called a Christian. Well, the word Christian means originally a little Christ.
Christ-like.
Yeah. I'm supposed to be like him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So somebody said, he sure does look like his daddy, they may say about the little newborn boy. But when we become a Christian, they're supposed to say, he sure does act like his daddy. Mm-hmm. Jesus. Act like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What about a new call for a different way to live and for us to do our life? Are we expected to do differently?
I think we should. But the sad part of it, Herschel, to me is that sometimes it doesn't translate into that.
Mm. That is a sad thing.
The follow me has two meanings, wasn't
it? Yeah, I think so too.
Follow him leaving
right now
down Judea where they were and go back up to Galilee, mm-hmm. north of the Sea of Galilee, but also the idea of following him in how we behave,
yes.
and how we do. And of course, one implication of that is what I've been talking about the last little bit, and that is sharing the good news with folks. Jesus
right.
went around
right.
sharing the gospel, the kingdom of God is at hand, that's what these guys were called to do. They were sent out to do it and did it repeatedly for the next 3 years, and then that passes on down to us, as we've been talking about here the last little bit. We need mm-hmm. to be getting out and sharing the good news with folks.
Now, exactly. So when you come to know Jesus, and you know him as the divine Son of God, as the one that is the Lamb of God that takes away your sins, and you know it can do it for your brother, for your uncle, for your daddy, for your mother, for your sister, for your children, for your neighbor, for strangers, then I think you'll want to share Jesus. And then Philip had a new confidence. Philip findeth Nathanael and said, we found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Mm. We found him. We found him.
Mm-hmm.
We found him.
Mm-hmm.
And we found the most precious news and the most precious thing in the world is when we found Jesus.
Amen.
Let us be about sharing it. Brother Pinion, I'm about to run us out of time.
In John chapter 1, verse 46 to 9, the Bible said, and Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?
Mm-hmm.
And Philip saith unto him, come and see. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith to him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. And Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel.
Mm. All right. The believing in Jesus must come first. And then sharing about Jesus will be a natural thing to follow.
Well, I think this thing sort of penetrates to me, Herschel, that in this brief narrative that we've read, these individuals were inquisitive. Mm-hmm. They did not know, they had not understood a great deal about who Jesus was. They'd heard of his reputation, and his reputation was one of absolute miracle working. But now Jesus, when they decided that they didn't know him, as Nathanael did, seemingly here, Jesus just said, "Come and see."
Right.
The second time that he has invited them, you know, "I don't have anything to hide."
Right.
And I think that's a simple message that we as pastors and preachers, we don't challenge our people enough. Just come and see.
Amen. Amen.
I mean, just try him.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
And see if he is who he said he was. Mm-hmm. See if he can do the things he said he could do.
Amen.
And see if he can cleanse the sins that he says he can. And see if he can give us the peace that we need in order to live in a challenging world and a situation now that most of us find ourselves that is extremely distressing and sometimes depressing.
Mm. Well, we see first of all that that must be in evaluating the Lord correctly. And God and the Lord is willing for us to go to any length to check everything about him. Right now they're trying to have all kind of hearings in Washington, trying to find out what this one knew about Russia's involvement in the election and on down the line. And I'm sure some of those guys are squirming, and they wish there would be a way they could keep them from finding out about them. But Jesus said, "You just come. You come on." One of you said, "Well, I don't have anything to hide. You come on. Come on, check me. Come on, see. You come see. You come evaluate me." Because when you to know Jesus is to love Jesus. To know Jesus is to trust Jesus.
You know, I'm looking at Nathanael's response, can anything good come out of
out of Nazareth?
And Satan, I think, was using a stereotype at that point in time
to
try to keep him from responding to Jesus like he should. And Satan continues to use stereotypes about nationality and race and gender and all those things, so that he gets us to throw up a barrier to keep us from doing just what Hirsch's been saying, and that is, come and see, you know, check it out. See if Jesus isn't exactly who he said he was and can do exactly what he says he can do. And so I guess the moral of that story is, don't let stereotypical thinking blind you to the truth and keep you from finding the truth.
Absolutely.
And that's, to me, an awfully important lesson. It's terribly applicable to our time and place.
And that seemed like a theme that a lot of people are asking that have fallen away from the church. If there ain't a good thing can come out of this, sir.
Right.
If there ain't a good thing can come out of me really following Christ, if there ain't a good thing can come out of me dedicating my life to him and going to church, because I got so many other things going on, so many things pulling me, I got so many idols I've set up and all these things, and they satisfied in the flesh. They got me satisfied in the flesh. And so is there anything else that can tantalize my flesh more than going to church? You know, what can give me a sensation better? If church can't do all this for me, then is there anything good enough coming out of that for me?
The thing that comes to my mind is Romans 5:1, that I think Billy Graham used so very, very well in his ministry, and that's having peace with God. And
peace with and the peace of.
Yes. And you find so many people, if you look very deeply in their lives, that's their problem. They may have a lot of stuff, They may have what would appear to be good things going, but the missing ingredient in the lives of lost folks is having peace with God, a realization that I'm not at war with God anymore, I'm not a rebellion of God. Mm-hmm. I have the realization that when I pass from this life, I'll pass into eternity and I'll be with Him forever. And what's it? Peace that passes understanding.
Oh, no,
and I think that's critical.
What about this 47 and 48? Because some of you are saying that are listening to us, hey, those guys don't know me. Some of you go to church on Sunday and you've done things in the week. Then you say, well, the preacher don't know what I've done. But look at verses 47 and 48, Brother Pinion. And does that tell us what that reveals about the Lord's knowledge about us, whether the preacher knows or not?
Well, it does tell us, and I challenge our listeners to go to Psalm 33.
Mm-hmm.
And read Psalm 33, mm-hmm. where the scripture there says that He knows everything about us that is going on in our lives, and this is exemplified mm-hmm. in these two verses about old Nathaniel.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus just knew everything about him.
Mm-hmm. He knew
knows everything about me and
he does.
Bob and
he
you
does.
And Amen. Gary and.
That's
and
right.
Everybody who's listening to me,
absolutely.
He knows everything about every one of us.
Amen.
He said, I know about your honesty. He said, in Nathaniel, there's no guile. This, here's an Israelite that there's no guile. There's no deception. There's no dishonesty in him. He knew about that.
Morally, he's pure.
There was no deceit, no hypocrisy. All of that was in his life. So then after we evaluate the Lord Jesus and then we recognize and he reveals he knows about us, we need to commit to the Lord Jesus, and we see that in verse 49, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
What does that say to you in 49?
It said, Nathan answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel.
Tell the listeners, some who are lost without Christ, how they can know Jesus as their personal Savior.
He is the Son of God, and He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And what we have to do is, just like Brother Pinion had said, He knows more about us than we know about ourselves. And He can meet us right where we are. We don't have to talk about getting ready, but He can meet us right where we are. He know that we are sinners, because the Scripture said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we have to repent and ask Him into our heart and begin to get in fellowship with a church that's Bible-based and teaching and pray and develop and then be able to be strong Christians, so that we also can be like these other boys, go tell somebody about Jesus. And that would be an awesome thing if somebody would call us and say that, I heard the call, I heard the message on the radio, and I'm going to give my life to Christ.
Amen. And if this happens, we don't ask you to send any money, because the Pickens Baptist Association underwrites our coming to you each Sunday in an honest expectation of God blessing what we're going to teach from the Bible. But it would be so encouraging if you'd drop us a letter give us that P.O. box.
206 Carrollton, Alabama, 35447206.
Please do that. Send us a letter and just say, or on a little postcard, and say, you know, I'm benefited and blessed by the radio program. And then if you've been saved, that'll just set our souls on fire to know that we've had a part in sharing the gospel with you. Those of you that are Christians, you can help us by go today, go tomorrow, go every day, and share Jesus Christ. He's worth knowing. He's worth telling folks about, because He is the only one that can make a sinner's heart, black heart, make it white. He's the only one that can take a sinner loaded down with a load of sin and no peace, like Dr. Farley said a minute ago, and give them peace in their heart. Our prayer for you today and our encouragement is share our blessed Jesus Christ with someone today.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen.